Okay, let's start our second talk, please. So Benoît Vichedot from University of York will present the talk, the Godin model from 3D mixed BF theory. Please, Benoît.
Okay, so thank you very much. So let me start by thanking the organizers for the opportunity to give this talk. So what I want to tell you about is the gauge theoretic approach to integrable systems, which was proposed by Costello and further developed by Costello, Witt, and Yamazaki, which is based on 4D Chern-Simons theory. So I'll actually be talking about a slight variation of this story, which is based instead on 3D mixed BF theory. And the purpose is that this theory can be used to describe finite dimensional integrable systems. So it's a very useful toy model for understanding the gauge theoretic origin of integrability, I think. So the talk will be based on this paper with my student, Jennifer Winston. So I'll refer you to it for details on what I'll talk about. Okay, so let me start with a very brief summary by reminding you that 4D Chern-Simons theory has is sort of like a mother theory for integrable systems in the sense that it can be used to describe two different types of integrable systems. In particular, if you introduce line defects in the 4D Chern-Simons theory, you can describe in this way integrable lattice models, which are whose integrable structure is underpinned by this RLL quantum structure. Or more precisely, because I'll be focusing in this talk on classical systems, I should talk about the Sklianin bracket, which is a quadratic bracket in the Lax matrix for the Lax matrix with itself. And another thing you can do from 4D Chern-Simons is introduce surface defects to describe instead two-dimensional integrable field theories, where the integrable structure in this case is underlined by this linear Poisson bracket in the Lax matrix, but with these delta functions because we're dealing with a field theory. Okay. So what I want to tell you in this talk is how a similar story works for finite dimensional integrable systems with linear brackets in for the Lax matrix, where the correct theory to start from is 3D BF theory. Okay? So I want to essentially explain in detail how this construction works to go from 3D BF theory by introducing line defects and gauge fixing to obtain finite dimensional integrable systems, specifically ones which arise as realizations of Godin models. Okay. So to start with, let me just remind you in one slide, for the purpose of this talk, what we know about 4D Chern-Simons theory and how it relates to two-dimensional integrable field theories. So if you start with 4D Chern-Simons theory on the cylinder times the CP1, which will play the role of the spectral plane, what you do is you start by introducing surface defects, which are along the cylinder and at fixed points in CP1. And then you impose boundary conditions on your gauge field at these surface defects. And after gauge fixing, you find that the gauge field of the 4D Chern-Simons theory becomes the Lax matrix of the integrable field theory in two dimensions. So you should think of the field theory as living on the surface defects, which are essentially copies of R cross S1. So you end up with a theory on the cylinder. So there's an alternative approach to producing a large family of integrable field theories on the cylinder, which is to use affine Godin models. So this is more rooted in the Hamiltonian formalism. And the idea here is you start with a Godin model based on an affine Kac-Moody algebra. So we heard about the Godin model yesterday in Ilya Burik's talk. This kind of Godin model will be one associated to an affine algebra rather than a finite dimensional algebra. And the point is that to get a specific integrable model, what you do is you choose a realization of your affine Kac-Moody algebra at each site of the Godin model. Okay, so in the talk yesterday, the realizations were of principal series type, and it was for Lie algebra of type BOC, if I remember. And so in this case, you'd have an affine Kac-Moody algebra, which you realize using your favorite representation, and you obtain some integrable system. So of course, these two approaches are very intimately related. And in fact, you can go from one to the other. You can start from the action for Chern-Simons theory, perform a Legendre transform to get to go to the Hamiltonian formalism, and after suitable gauge fixing, you end up with a Godin model. Okay. So the motivation for this work was really to try and understand what is the analog of this picture if I replace the affine Godin model by a finite Godin model, which is supposed to describe not integrable field theories, but integrable systems of finite dimension. Okay. So this is sort of the question, what's the finite dimensional analog? And the answer is this picture. So I'm saying finite dimensional analog because, as I said, the Godin model here is based on a finite dimensional Lie algebra now. And the resulting integrable system is a finite dimensional integrable system. Okay, so I'll explain how 3D mixed BF theory on R cross CP1 can be used in the same way as 4D transimons to construct such Godin models. Okay, so the plan of my talk is this picture. So I'm going to start with reminding you or telling you what the Godin model is. I'll focus on the case of a finite dimensional Lie algebra. And then I'll give you an example of a realization to produce a concrete integrable system out of it. So you should think of the Godin model as sort of a universal integrable model based on a Lie algebra, but then if you realize the Lie algebra in a certain way, you get specific integrable models. And then I'll explain how to get the same model down here from 3D mixed BF theory. Okay, so it's broken down into various steps, so I'll explain these steps after introducing 3D mixed BF theory. Okay, so let me start by recalling what the Godin model is. So the data you need is a finite dimensional semi-simple Lie algebra over the complex numbers. Fix some non-degenerate symmetric bilinear form on the Lie algebra. And then you pick some dual bases with respect to this bilinear form. This is just convenient for describing the Lax matrix. And then you fix a set of mark points on the complex plane. So Z1 up to Zn are complex numbers. And the dynamical variables of the Godin model are essentially just copies of the Lie algebra attached to these marked points. So essentially, you take your basis elements IA, and you introduce an extra label 1 up to n, which labels the marked point. And these basis elements are attached to that particular marked point. So these are sort of the abstract Lie algebra generators, which you should think of as dynamical variables in the Godin model. So the algebra of observables of the Godin model is symmetric polynomials in this Lie algebra G direct sum n. So it's convenient to package all these dynamical variables into a matrix. Namely, you just take the tensor product with the dual basis element. So in GLN, you should think of this as a matrix. So you can also do this for reductive Lie algebras. In this case, in GLN, you have a matrix here, and these are just the abstract generators of the Lie algebras at each site, and they're packaged together in the form of a matrix. Okay. So this is sort of like a G-valued dynamical variable for the Godin model. Okay. So the Lie bracket for these dynamical variables is just the Lie bracket for G, but you have n copies of it which mutually commute. So you take the Lie bracket of dynamical variables at site I and site J. If I is not equal to J, you get 0. Otherwise, you just get the Lie bracket at this site. And you can conveniently package these in terms of the G-valued dynamical variable J in the form of this constant Kirilov bracket. So here I've written the bracket as a Poisson bracket because I'm thinking of classical systems. So essentially, on linear generators like these ones, on linear observables like these ones, the Lie bracket defines the Poisson bracket, and then you extend it by Leibniz to all other observables. Okay, so this is really a Poisson bracket on the phase space, and it's given in this form. So this will come up later, so it's useful to remember. Here, C12 is just the tensor product of the dual basis elements of the Lie algebra, and I'm always implicitly summing over repeated indices. So the Lax matrix of the Godin model is given by this formal combination of these G-valued variables. So this bracket can again be conveniently rewritten in this nice form, which is just the Lax bracket for the Godin model. So it's the one I mentioned in the first slide, where now the R matrix is this explicit R matrix. Okay. So the advantage of writing the Poisson brackets of the phase space in this form is that it immediately produces a very large family of integrals of motion, which Poisson commutes. So in particular, if you choose adjoint invariant polynomials, P and Q, by which I mean that they're invariant under the adjoint action, like this, then if you evaluate the Lax matrix, you evaluate these polynomials on the Lax matrix at different parameters Z and W, these Poisson commute essentially by virtue of the fact that the Poisson bracket here is a Lie bracket. Okay. So then to define the Hamiltonian of the Godin model, you just pick a W and you pick a polynomial, which is invariant, and you define the Hamiltonian as this polynomial P applied to the Lax matrix at W. So this just fixes a choice of Hamiltonian, and then by this construction, you get a large family of integrals of motion which mutually commute with each other. Okay. And I should say here, P is applied to the auxiliary space, to the matrix part. And so what you get out of it is a polynomial in the dynamical variables of the Godin model. Okay. So having the Hamiltonian, we can now define time evolution in this model. So it's just Poisson bracket with the Hamiltonian. For any of observable, the time evolution is given in this way. And in particular, the Lax matrix evolves according to the Lax equation, where M here is just this particular matrix, which is related to the Lax matrix L at W. Okay, so just P prime here is just the derivative of the polynomial, which at a point X in the Lie algebra is just a linear map. But by duality of G star with G, you can think of this as a Lie algebra element. So P prime of X is a Lie algebra element. And so this is really just it's a matrix with entries in the symmetric algebra G direct sum N. Okay, so concretely, think of GLN. An example of an invariant polynomial is the trace of x to the n, then this is the formula for m in this case, okay? So now I want to tell you about a specific realization, which is actually a very broad class of realizations, which I'll then be able to reproduce from the 3D BF theory. So to define them, I need to fix some Lie algebra elements u1 up to un, and I'm going to look at the orbits under the adjoint action of these elements in the Lie algebra G. So these are called OUI, the adjoint orbits. And it turns out that these have a very canonical Poisson structure or symplectic structure. So these are symplectic manifolds. And the product of these is also a symplectic manifold with this concrete Poisson bracket. So U hat is my notation for points on the orbit. So these are just elements you can obtain by conjugation with some G, with some element of G acting on the starting point UI. Okay, so you recognize that this is the same as the Poisson bracket of the abstract generators of the Godin model. So this tells you that you can realize the Godin model concretely by sending the abstract generators Ji, these are the G-value generators, to these G-valued points in the coadjoint orbit or in the adjoint orbit. Okay, so concretely, these Lie algebra generators here, they're sent to the coordinates of this point on the phase space in the basis IA. Okay, so these are functions on the product of coadjoint orbits, and they're the images of the linear elements in this symmetric algebra. Okay. So just to summarize, this is the basically the three things I want to reproduce from 3D BF theory. So the Lax matrix in this realization is given by this rational function with coefficients, which are these adjoint orbits of fixed elements ui. And then this, by construction, satisfies this Lax algebra. And the evolution is given by this Lax equation, where time evolution is with respect to the Hamiltonian I talked about before, which is P of L of W. Okay. So if you can remember these three equations, they'll come up again, and I'll reproduce them from the 3D BF theory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the difference between this and the previous Lax matrix? So this is just realized concretely in terms of group valued fields, which parameterize, if you like, the adjoint orbit. So you can think of this H like as your dynamical variable of some physical system. Sorry? The algebra generators are the function on the group. So I don't think I understand the question. But so an example of a function on this product of adjoint orbits is just given by the coordinates of these points on the adjoint orbit. So these are the u hat ai. These are functions on the coadjoint orbit. And they happen to satisfy the same relations as these abstract generators. So these are really functions on the adjoint orbits, right? So you can think of this now as physical, classical physical system, where you're describing your phase space by functions on the cotangent bundle of some symplectic manifold. Okay, so this is really functions on a symplectic manifold, but it's a concrete realization of the abstract generators of the Godin model, which were just Lie algebra elements. Right, so you went from abstract elements to functions on some symplectic manifold. Okay. Yeah, just some arbitrary fixed Lie algebra elements. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so now let me turn to the 3D mixed BF theory. So first let me introduce this theory. So it's defined by similar data to the Godin model. So I fix some semi-simple complex Lie group with Lie algebra G, which will be the same as before. And I also have the same bilinear form as before. And the fields of the model are just given by these two fields, A and B. So A is just a generic one form. It's a G-valued one form, which is smooth on R cross CP1. So it has, in particular, legs in the three directions dt, dz, and dz bar, where t is the coordinate on R, and z, z bar are the coordinates on CP1. On the other hand, B is just a 1-0 form, 1-0 relative to the complex structure on CP1. So what that means is that it just has a leg in the direction dz. Okay. But importantly, you should remember that these are just smooth functions for the moment of all coordinates, just smooth functions valued in the Lie algebra, smooth functions on this space. Okay. So the action is just given as follows. So it's called BF theory because the action is BF. And in other words, you just take the curvature of the one form A, defined in this way, and you just pair it with the 1-0 form B. Okay. So by looking at the action, there's an immediate gauge invariance coming from the fact that B has only a dz component. So in other words, if A has any dz component, it will just drop out from the action. Okay. So I should say here this is the inner product in the Lie algebra, and it's the wedge product of the forms, okay, this notation. So I'm taking the inner product on the Lie algebra part and the wedge product of forms. So because you're wedging with B, which has only a dz component, any component along dz for the field A drops out. So you can just fix this gauge invariance by just demanding that A has no z component. Okay. So in particular, now we're left with an A field which has these two components, dt and dz bar, and B still has its one component dz. Okay. So a more interesting gauge invariance is the following, which is a more recognizable gauge invariance, where A transforms as a connection. It's really a partial connection because you don't you ignore the AZ component. So G can still depend on Z, but you just ignore any Z component which is produced because we can always gauge it away as before. So we just set AZ to zero. So in particular, because A transforms as a connection, the curvature transforms by conjugation. And so if we let B transform by conjugation, then the action is invariant, okay? Because we have an adjoint invariant bilinear form. Okay. So the equations of motion are easy to derive. So for B, it's trivial. You just get the curvature of A. So that's this equation for B. And for A, you find these equations of motion. So the first striking thing you notice is that this looks a lot like the Lax equation for a finite dimensional integrable system. If you identify BZ with the Lax matrix, and M with minus AT, okay? So it looks like it, but it's far from it for the moment because there's a big problem, which is that if you call this L and this M, then L and M actually depend smoothly on Z and Z bar, whereas you want them to be meromorphic, okay? So what we should remember, however, is that we're dealing with a gauge theory, and so the hope is that there's some gauge in which we can actually choose L and M to be meromorphic, okay? So that's the next part. So let's try to gauge fix to make the Lax matrices or the Lax pair meromorphic. So you notice, coming back to these equations, that there's these AZ bar dependence on the right-hand side. So if we can choose a gauge where AZ bar is zero, then we'll get that AT is holomorphic and BZ is also holomorphic because the right-hand side here will be zero. So this is the idea. We use this gauge fixing condition, which is really the same as the gauge fixing condition used in 4D Chern-Simons theory, to produce integrable systems. So you go to this gauge, and then you find that the equations of motion that I didn't focus on before, they just tell you that AT and BZ, these components are just holomorphic. Okay. So there's still a problem, which is that we wanted Lax matrices which are meromorphic in Z, not just holomorphic. So they have no poles in Z. There's no possibility of having poles so far. And the other issue is that L and M, as derived here, they're completely unrelated. So we want M to be built out of L, remember, as some polynomial of the Lax matrix L. But here, L and M are completely unrelated. So these two issues we can fix by introducing some line defects, suitably chosen line defects, in the 3D BF theory. Okay, so let me describe these line defects. So essentially, you just modify the action by introducing some terms which are localized on some lines in this R cross CP1 three-dimensional space. So I've drawn here a picture of CP1 just as a plane, and then R as this transverse direction. So what you want to do is modify the action by adding two types of defects. So we call these type A and type B because they depend just on A and B fields. And so these are localized on these lines, which are at the mark points Zi of the Godin model for the type A defects, and at some new point W for the type B defect. Okay. So more precisely, these are exactly the same data as we had in the Godin model, because it will turn out to be producing exactly the Godin model. So these UJs are precisely fixed elements of the Lie algebra G, as we had before for describing the coadjoint orbits. This H is just a group-valued field on R. It depends only on R because it's living on these defects. And then P is, for the moment, just some polynomial, but it will have to be invariant in a second. Okay. So if we think about gauge invariance, we can this term is obviously still gauge invariant, but we can promote these two terms to gauge invariant defects. For the second term, we just have to ensure that the polynomial P is adjoint invariant, so that the gauge transformation of the B field is cancelled. So just choose P to be an adjoint invariant polynomial, and then this second term is gauge invariant. And for the first term, you want to just compensate the gauge transformation of the field A by suitably transforming H to cancel off the gauge transformation. So you just choose H to transform by left multiplication by the group valued field G evaluated at the defect. Okay, so this will make this combination gauge invariant, and therefore this second term here gauge invariant. So we have now a gauge theory again. We can look at the equations of motion, and they're now modified precisely by these two terms we added. So the first equation of motion for B is modified by this delta derivative, Dirac delta function term, which is localized at Z equals W because it comes from this term. Okay, so you can write this as the integral over R cross CP1 times a delta function. And so that's where this delta function comes from. It's in the equations of motion, it's purely localized at Z equals W. And similarly, this equation of motion here is modified by these delta functions at Zj. Okay. So we can now go to the same gauge as before. So again, all these terms with AZ bar disappear. But now we're left with some non-trivial terms on the right-hand side of these two equations. So rather than having L and M now being holomorphic, they're now meromorphic using this property of the delta function. So dz bar of 1 of z minus w is proportional to the delta function. So this gives you that the Lax matrix is now meromorphic with poles at these zj's. And the residues are given by the coefficients of these delta functions. And similarly, the first equation tells you that A, which is minus M, is essentially a rational function with pole at Z equals W and coefficient this expression. So that's the expression for M, which we recognize as the Lax pair of the Godin model. So on the equations of motion, we've already reproduced the equations of motion of the Godin model just by introducing these defects in 3D BF3. Okay. Any question? So to really complete the story, we have to now perform a Hamiltonian analysis of 3D BF3 and show that the Poisson brackets of the gauge field, yeah? Yeah. Exactly. So AZ is gone. AZ bar I've set to zero as well. So all that's left is AT and BZ, and these are the Lax pair of the Godin model. Yeah. Okay. So now let me essentially go back to the start and just start from the action and derive, perform the Hamiltonian analysis of this theory. And the hope is to show that B, which is the Lax matrix, satisfies the correct Poisson bracket, okay, the Lax algebra. So we introduce conjugate momenta for all the fields. The conjugate momentum for the group-valued element HI at each site is a Lie algebra element. So you can think of this as sort of parametrizing a cotangent bundle for the group element G. So this XI is like a coordinate on the fiber, and G is a coordinate on the base. So this is the natural conjugate pair describing, or in the Hamiltonian formalism for this group element H. So if you compute these conjugate momentum, you immediately find that they satisfy certain constraints. So for example, the action doesn't depend on the time derivative of AT, so the conjugate momentum has to be zero. And you get these other constraints just from computing the conjugate momenta of these variables. And then you notice that some of them are second class, meaning that their Poisson bracket is invertible. So this means that we can fix them strongly to zero. We want to sort of gauge fix and eliminate all the constraints. We can do this by essentially introducing or replacing the Poisson brackets by the Dirac brackets. So we can fix PZ and CZ strongly to zero by replacing the Poisson bracket by this modified bracket, which is the Dirac bracket. So I've written it here explicitly, just if you've never seen it before. So these double angle brackets are just given by the pairing on the tensor factor I. So here, for example, there's subscript 2. So I'm pairing the 2 space here with the 2 space there. And then I integrate over CP1. So all these fields depend on Z and Z bar. They don't depend on time because I'm dealing with the Hamiltonian formalism, so I'm at equal time. I'm looking at an equal time slice. And what this here is the inverse of this Poisson bracket. So this, the point is that this is invertible because it's just the kernel of the identity operator relative to this pairing. And so what's written here is really its inverse, which is just the standard formula for the Dirac bracket, which will allow us to fix these constraints strongly to zero. So it turns out actually that this Poisson bracket, or the Dirac bracket, is the same as the Poisson bracket for all the other fields. So once you fix BZ and PZ, all the remaining fields have just the same Dirac bracket as Poisson bracket. So I'll just continue to denote the Dirac bracket without the star. But to fix the other constraints, it's a bit more involved. So CI, you can also fix completely to zero, meaning we're going to restrict to the subspace in the phase space where CI is strictly equal to zero. So this is more involved. I'm just going to outline what's going on. So this constraint is partly first class and partly second class. So the first class pass you can extract as by projecting onto the centralizer of the element UI in the Lie algebra G. And by introducing, in fact, any gauge fixing condition for this first class part, you get a total set of second class constraints, which you can then fix strongly to zero by introducing some Dirac bracket. So it's a lot more involved than the previous case. And what you find in the end is that the Dirac bracket on the fields H, or rather on the combination U hat, which is H U H inverse, these are precisely given by this Coston-Kirilov bracket. Okay, so after gauge fixing the constraint CI, you basically end up with the Coston-Kirilov bracket for the fields U hat on the reduced phase space. Okay. So we have one constraint remaining, pi t. And so following the Dirac procedure, what we should do is check that it is preserved under time evolution. So the Hamiltonian, after fixing all the other constraints which I talked about, the Hamiltonian just reduces to this expression. So there's this mu hat, which is this combination here, which will be important in a second, paired with t. And then you have this plus what looks like the Godin Hamiltonian, which is promising. So we want the constraint pi t to be preserved under time evolution. So in other words, we want its Poisson bracket with the Hamiltonian to be 0. So that imposes a new constraint, namely that this mu hat here should be 0. Okay, it's a secondary constraint. And as is often the case in this procedure, there's no tertiary constraint. So the algorithm stops here, and there are no more constraints generated from requiring that this is preserved under time evolution. Okay. So, in fact, the reason that there's no tertiary constraints is because this mu is actually second class, which means, first class, meaning that the Poisson bracket with itself is proportional to the constraint mu hat again. So, first class really means that it generates some gauge symmetry, and in fact, mu hat generates the gauge symmetry that we had before, which transforms the connection A as a connection and B by conjugation. So we can fix this gauge invariance, as we understood in the Lagrangian framework, by choosing this gauge fixing condition. And it turns out that indeed, mu hat and az bar together are second class. So their Poisson bracket is this expression, which you can invert using this rational function here, which you recognize as the R matrix of the Godin model. So in particular, the formula for the Dirac bracket for fixing these two constraints is simply the same formula as before, but now I use the inverse of the Poisson bracket of mu hat with az bar. And this double bracket is the same as before. Okay. So now you start to see this R matrix appearing in the Poisson bracket. And what's really nice is that if you now compute The Dirac bracket for the field BZ with itself, so remember BZ should be the Lax matrix, and if you compute its Dirac bracket with itself, you find precisely the Lax algebra. Okay, and where I emphasize that this R matrix comes from this rational function here, which came from the formula for the Dirac bracket, which involves the inverses of these Poisson brackets. Okay, so we reproduce the Lax algebra, and because we've now fixed mu hat and az bar strongly to zero, what this tells us is that, so if we go back to the formula for the Hamiltonian, remember the Hamiltonian is this, so because mu hat is now zero, we're just left with the second term. So that's precisely the Godin Hamiltonian. So on the completely reduced phase space where everything's been fixed to zero, the Hamiltonian is this one. So that's what induces the dynamics on the reduced phase space, and it's the Godin Hamiltonian as expected. And also because mu hat is zero, if you look at this equation, it's telling you as before that BZ is just a meromorphic function with poles at the ZJs and residues given by these UI hats. Okay, so that's the same formula as before, just rederived from the. Yeah, exactly. I didn't really say here, but these U hats were the same as before. They're the sort of the points on the I joint orbits, yes. Yeah, but now it's not 3DBF because we've gauge fixed down to basically we've eliminated the CP1 essentially. So we've reduced down to the reduced phase space, which is actually parametrized by these BZ, and so it's actually the product of coadjoint orbits, right? Because the BZ is really just the same data as these U hats. Yeah. So if you're familiar with the Hitchin system, you'll recognize this as the moment map for the Hitchin system. If I identify the Higgs field with BZ and A with the AZ bar component of the gauge field A. And so what mu hat is, setting mu hat to zero is just setting the moment map to this particular value, which is what you typically do in the Hitchin system when you have defects at the ZIs, when you have, ramification points at the ZIs. But you can also, if you replace CP1 in this story by a Riemann surface, you can also fix this to zero and obtain the Hitchin system out of this construction. Okay. So one last thing is we know that from this bracket we get that the adjoint invariant polynomials of B commute with each other, but we can see this quite nicely from the analysis I just described. So if you pick just generic polynomials P and Q, then because BZ commutes with itself, then the Poisson bracket of the polynomial P of BZ is commuting with the polynomial Q of BZ, just because B commutes with itself. So this is the Poisson bracket. But if you have adjoint invariant polynomials, then because P is adjoint invariant and mu generates the gauge transformation by which BZ transforms by conjugation, this tells you that the Poisson bracket of mu hat with the polynomial P of BZ is zero. That's by adjoint invariant of the polynomial. So it's also true for Q, but what that means is that in this formula for the Dirac bracket, this term is zero and this term is zero, and that one is zero because of this fact. So you basically get for free that the Dirac bracket of these two polynomials is zero. So this is the involution property just derived within this Hamiltonian construction. Okay. So let me conclude. So in this talk, I explained to you how by introducing certain line defects in 3DBF theory, namely these particular line defects, you can reproduce the Godin model in the realization where the abstract generators are realized in terms of points on the coadjoint orbit O of UJ. But it would be interesting to understand if there are other types of defects you could add to 3DBF theory to produce other realizations of the Godin model. And in particular, it would be nice to understand what is the sort of correspondence between choices of line defects in BF theory and realizations of the Lie algebras G at each site in the Godin model. So this is really a similar question you can ask in 4D Trans-Simons theory about surface defects and realizations of the affine Godin model. Another direction is there are lots of generalizations of the Godin model. In particular, you can increase the order of the singularities in the Lax matrix to have irregular singularities. So these would be reproduced by essentially what you could call thickened line defects, which are sort of line defects where you remember some transversal directions by some epsilon nilpotent parameter. So this has been worked out in 4D Chen Simon's case in these papers. It would be nice to understand the similar story in this finite dimensional case. What are the analog of the defects we introduced for higher order poles in the Lax matrix? You can also have equivariant Lax matrices under some group gamma, which could either be the cyclic group or dihedral group. So the Lax matrix will then be equivariant in this way. And so based on our understanding of how it works in 4D Chen Simons, it should be that to produce such Godin models, you can start from 3D BF theory, but on some orbifold CP1 quotiented by the action of the group G, gamma. And then there are lots of other generalizations, Superlie algebras, combinations of the above, and so on. Of course, the most interesting direction is for quantization. So the advantage of this 3D BF theory and its relation to the Godin model is that we know a lot about the finite Godin model and its quantization, as opposed to affine Godin models for which we know little about the quantization. So this should be a very useful toy model for understanding how things work when you pass the quantization. So many mathematicians have worked on the quantization of the Godin model, and they've understood that it's related to the representation theory of the affine Kac-Moody algebra, where the affinization here has to do with the spectral parameter, nothing to do with field theory. So the representations of the affine algebra at critical level. Okay, so in particular, all the Godin model Hamiltonians you can obtain from certain singular vectors in the representation of in the vacuum Verma module of the affine Kac-Moody algebra at critical level. So in fact, classically, 3D BF theory can be obtained as a certain level zero limit of 3D Chen Simons. So of course, if you take the naive level zero limit, you just get zero. If you want to retain some non-trivial information, you can scale the field AZ as 1 over K times BZ, and then that produces BF theory. In the quantum case, when you pass to the quantum case, we expect that the level should go from the zero level to critical level. So we expect this from the Godin model point of view, and there's also some recent work by Gayota, Witten, and Zhang on the where they speculate on the quantization of the Hitchin system, and they argue that critical level Chen Simons theory in 3D should be related to integrable systems, quantum integrable systems, namely the quantum Godin model, or more generally, the quantum Hitchin system. So the quantum version of the picture I've described in this talk should be the following. Okay. And then finally, the original story of Costello from 2013 was about producing lattice models, and it was further expanded on by Costello, Witten, and Yamazaki. So in particular, among these integrable lattice models, you can produce Heisenberg spin chain, of which we know a limit is the Godin model. So in this talk, I mentioned that the Godin model can be obtained from 3D Chen Simons theory, and in the quantum case at critical level. So it would be interesting to understand how this diagram commutes, where on this side you basically take the classical limit of the spin chain of Heisenberg to get the Godin model. What's the analogous procedure to go from 4D Chen Simons here to 3D Chen Simons, which describes the Godin model? So, and in particular, in both cases, you have line defects. It would be interesting to understand how these choices of line defects to produce Heisenberg relate to the choices of line defects we've introduced here to produce the Godin model. Thank you.
Thank you, Benoit, for a nice talk. So the talk ended even slightly earlier. We have time for questions, please. Enrico?
Very nice talk. And I want to ask a very basic question. If you could reproduce a construction imposing, for example, some periodicity, like, say, substituting the sphere with the cylinder, going like to hyperbolic case, quadratic, and also going to quadratic Poisson brackets, and doing some kind of relativistic deformation of this story with Poisson non-abelian symmetries rather than the usual Lie algebra orbit. If there is some impediment, or maybe you already know, and
I
what you
where do you want to introduce periodicity? What
in respect to the Z variable. Say Z variables are not on a sphere, but on a cylinder. In a sense.
This is probably related to the orbifold story. If you have these Lax matrices which are invariant on the ZT, the action of some cyclic group here, this. So you pick gamma to be the cyclic group, then you're orbifolding, so you have this periodicity in the Z direction around the origin. Is that what you're thinking about?
Yes.
So this would produce trigonometric models. In fact, you can also look at equivariance under the action of Z, the integers, which would, in that case, I think, produce... So Godin models with this equivariance would produce trigonometric models, I think. So, but why did you mention quadratic brackets? I think quadratic brackets, as I mentioned in the first slide, you can't really get from 3DBF3, from my understanding.
Quadratic brackets in another direction, you say, kind of relativistic or Poisson-Li deformation of this procedure.
So maybe, yeah, relativistic deformations of trigonometric models. So maybe, I mean, this is related to this slide here, where if you probably take the cyclotomic Godin model, which is equivariant in some way, producing the trigonometric story, this probably has a deformation to quadratic brackets coming from 4D Chern-Simons. So my point, the main punchline, is that 4D Chern-Simons can produce finite dimensional integrable systems with quadratic brackets. And if you want models with linear brackets, you should use 3D Chern-Simons or 3DBF theory classically. Okay, so the deformations which go from linear brackets to quadratic brackets in the gauge theory perspective is going from 3D to 4D Chern-Simons.
Yeah. Thank
you. Can it be generalized to elliptic case?
Elliptic would be where you, I think, take CP1 to be the torus.
And it's quite possible.
Yeah, you can do this as well. So, in fact, in this story, you can do the same thing for any Riemann surface and you get Hitchin systems. And Hitchin systems on tori are elliptic systems.
So, further?
Thanks for the nice talk. It seems transparent at the level of the equations of motion that you land on this these Godin models. You know, you get this Lax matrix. But at the level of the Poisson brackets, can you give some intuition for why this should happen? I mean, why should you land on the right Poisson brackets?
Well, so in this, the strategy is basically just fix all the constraints as you can, and then when you encounter a gauge invariance generated here by this constraint, you know what this gauge invariance generates in the Lagrangian framework, and you knew how to gauge fix it by imposing AZ bar equal to zero. So it's just following the same story, but in the Hamiltonian language. I'm saying it's completely parallel. So all these choices were guided by what happened so clearly in the Lagrangian framework. So in the Lagrangian framework, when you look at the equations of motion, it's immediate what to do, right? But in the Hamiltonian framework, it's a bit more involved, but it's really the same story. If you're familiar with this kind of Hamiltonian with constraints, it's quite natural to do all this. And the choices which you have to make are guided by the choices you had in the Lagrangian framework. Also, we first worked out the case of the affine Godin model where things were harder, and this was easier to work out. I mean, we knew what to do basically because we already worked out the 4D version. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, okay, thanks very much.
There exist various dualities for Godin models, for example, relating GLN on K sites and GLK on N sites, or some quantum classical or spectral dualities. Can you see or maybe derive them from the other side of the correspondence from Chern-Simons?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a very good question. I don't know. It would first require quantizing because I don't know of many classical dualities between classical Godin models. Maybe bispectral dualities you can see. But these require very specific representations by rank one matrices. And so you'd need to realize these realizations by choosing suitable defects in the 3D BF theory. So yeah, you'd need to find suitable line defects to produce the realizations for that context. Yeah. But I mean, I think apart from bispectral duality, which can happen between two classical Godin models, I don't know of any other dualities at the classical level. So you'd have to first understand quantum Godin models from 3D Chern-Simons. Yeah.
Also, another small question. In principle, you could derive Gaudin by taking a limit of the spin chain for which the correspondence was known.
Yeah.
But instead, you found it easier to derive it from scratch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, this is the last slide. And it would be nice to understand how to close this diagram to get sort of a limit on this side. You see, this is the H-bar limit where you retain only the information about the classical R matrix. What's the corresponding H-bar limit in this side? It's not obvious. Yeah.
Sorry, Benoit. Hello? One more question. When you talk about this 4D realization R2 CP1, I'm just wondering if you know there is probably also this realization in terms of the moment map for the for the Hitchin connection.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that people are able to reduce this problem to the ramification problem,
yeah.
Ramification cycles, which is equivalent to the developing quantization scheme. I don't know if you have thought it can be this a universal prescription for constructing quantization schemes, at least for this class of models.
So I don't know, but it sounds interesting because the moment map in the Hitchin system appears naturally in this story as the so mu hat fixing mu hat to zero, as I said, is really just the same thing as fixing the moment map of the Hitchin system to this level. In the Hitchin system, you would fix it to zero if you don't care about introducing ramification points. So on high genius Riemann surfaces, you can fix this to zero, and you'd get interesting Hitchin systems out of it. But so maybe you could talk about it afterwards. Sounds interesting, but I don't know.
Hi, thanks for the nice talk. Maybe a naive question, but another way to generate many integrable systems is from Einstein's equations. And in 3D, if you had, for example, Einstein-Weyl spaces, which are sort of spaces with conformal metric and the connection, do you have an expectation what kind of Hamiltonian systems arise from these equations?
So I'm not too familiar with this construction, but I think I know what you're referring to. So I don't know how it would relate to the Gaudin model and to these 3D BF theories. But, I mean, maybe you can tell me afterwards.
Okay.
Know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. If there are no more questions, let's thank Benoit again.